The epistle for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain even till now, and not only it, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5. At that time, when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets, and going up into one of the ships that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night, and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners that were in another ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they were almost sinking. Which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. Words taken from today's epistle, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, each year on June 24th, we celebrate the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. And while the Church celebrates the birth of the precursor of Christ with great solemnity, still in her martyrologies, she commemorates on that day as well the martyrdom of the first Christians in Rome to suffer and die for Christ. It was in the year 64 AD that a great fire broke out in the city of Rome. The fire was started by order of the Emperor Nero. A certain historian writes that the emperor was disgusted with the simplicity of the city. In his madness, he wanted to rebuild it in such a way so that it would rival the beauty and magnificence of the ancient city of Troy. He therefore commanded the ancient city of Rome to be set ablaze. Now, of the 14 divisions into which the city was made, only four escaped the devouring flame. The fire raged for 6 days and 7 nights. But when it ended, the Roman people who survived this inferno were outraged. According to the Roman historian Tacitus, in order to stifle the rumor that Nero himself had set the city on fire, the emperor falsely charged with the guilt the flourishing Christian community. Now, no evidence, of course, could be found to prove that the Christians were responsible for the fire. But Nero insisted that the Christians set the city on fire to destroy it. And at length, he was able to convince the people of Rome that the Christians were enemies of the empire. The fury of the mob was immediately enkindled against Christianity. And thus, the first persecution of the Catholic Church by the Roman Empire began. And it began, my dear people, on account of a lie and by means of an angry mob. Christians were hunted down and arrested. Here is an account of the torments and sufferings endured by these first Christians, many of whom were personally baptized and received into the church by Saint Peter himself. This historian writes, Nero had the Christians arrested and condemned to the most horrible torments. In their very deaths, the Christians were made the subject of sport. Some, covered with the skins of wild beasts, were hunted, torn, and devoured by dogs in imitation of the barbarous chase. Others were crucified. Some were covered in resinous and other combustible matter. They were then fastened to posts along the streets or in the alleys of the imperial gardens. And in the evening, at the command of Nero, they were set on fire like torches destined to illuminate the night. My dear friends, St. Paul opens today's epistle with these words, Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. And by these few words, the apostle made a contrast between the passing trials and crosses of the present life on the one hand, and the lasting glory, happiness, and joy that is in store hereafter for the faithful Christian on the other. Now, these words are taken, as I said, from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. He wrote this epistle to the Christians at Rome around the year 58 AD, 6 years before Nero burned down the city. These first Christians at Rome, who suffered and died at the hands of Nero, had thus heard these very words of the apostle when this epistle was read for the first time from the sanctuary in a church in Rome. In fact, these Christians were put to death before Saints Peter and Paul were martyred. When the persecution broke out, both the apostles were in the east. They met in the city of Corinth. They were traveling back to Rome in order to fortify the church there. And from Corinth, the two illustrious apostles made their last journey together. They were not in the city long when St. Paul was arrested and imprisoned in the Mamertine prison. St. Peter was still at large and encouraging and strengthening the faithful, but he too was eventually arrested and imprisoned with St. Paul. They converted and baptized their Roman guards and all their fellow prisoners. And on June 29th, St. Peter was crucified upside down on the Vatican Hill while St. Paul was led outside the city and beheaded. But by these words in today's epistle, the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. St. Paul instructed them, even as he would remind us today, that the daily trials of life, the various troubles we meet, the weariness, the poverty, the sickness, pain, and sorrow, and the tribulations of life, which are the sufferings that result from the persecutions and oppressions, such things, the apostle tells us, are nothing. They are nothing compared to the glory that will be ours in the eternal happiness of heaven. How often, my dear people, we should call this to mind in the midst of the trials and tribulations of life, where we all have something to suffer, whether it be the little trials of life or perhaps tribulations of some kind. And I say this even in the midst of the violence and the chaos and the destruction that has occurred and still occurs in various cities of our nation today. How we must ever recall these words of St. Paul, even as we place our trust in Christ, who is our Lord and our God, our Savior and our King. The Emperor Nero practically burned down the whole city of Rome and then conspired to blame the first Christians. He and his co-conspirators repeated the lie over and over until the mob was infuriated into a rage. Are we not perhaps witnessing today a similar scenario? Repeated lies, distorted truths, and infuriated and destructive mobs. Buildings are burned, property damaged, innocent people hurt and even murdered. Historical monuments defaced or destroyed. And among them are the monuments dedicated to Christopher Columbus, Father Junipero Serra, and even St. Louis IX. And just recently, the verbal assault made upon the traditional images and paintings of our Lord, our Blessed Mother, and even St. Michael the Archangel. But my dear friends, as disturbing as these things are, still we must strive to be like those first Christians of Rome, who in the midst of lies, rage, and persecution were not moved to fear nor anger, but rather placed their trust, their confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let us, my dear friends, do the same. Even as we devoutly pray the Holy Rosary every day to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, living our lives in the state of grace, and ever taking comfort and these consoling words of St. Paul, the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.